We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, hello there. How are you doing, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. I am Vince D'Addario. I'm the football analyst here at irishbreakdown.com. And with me, as always, is Brian Driscoll, the publisher at irishbreakdown.com. And we are ever so close to the Blue Gold game, which will be taking place on Saturday at 1 o'clock local time.
Oh, 48 hours, right?
Yes, also known as Eastern Standard Time. It's 48 hours. That's pretty great. So yeah, really excited about it. And we get to see a little bit of something and that'll be fun. So today we're going to talk about what we are looking for on the offensive side of the ball, what we're looking on the defensive side of the ball, as well as players to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Cause there's, look, we can always say, Vince, that like spring games don't matter in the big scheme of things. And they don't from the standpoint of, we shouldn't be making sweeping conclusions.
Right.
Like if Drew Pine goes out and goes 20 of 22 for 400 yards, it doesn't mean he's the starter. If Drew Pine goes 5 of 22, it doesn't mean he's not in the contention to be the starter. Right. Like that's the point. Like, however, it doesn't mean that as fans and observers that there aren't things we're looking for and things we're going to enjoy and things that we can learn. It's more about the proper context of what we're going to see and not taking what we're going to see and turning it into something bigger because we have seen so little before. And that's really what I want people to understand. But there's plenty of things that I'm looking forward to seeing, Vince, and I know you're looking forward to seeing. And kind of when I came up with the idea for the show, which, I mean, I came up with it. We knew we were going to do this on Thursday.
Right.
But just the framework of it was like, look, we're going to come up with some things we're looking to see on offense, some things we're looking to see on defense, some players we're looking for. But we didn't share it at all. We didn't discuss it at all because we wanted to kind of be fresh and like, here's what Vince is looking for, here's what I'm looking for, and then we'll discuss it from you. And we're going to have a Q&A at the end for whatever time we have left before Vince has to go. So if you have questions you want us to answer, get them in now. We'll bring up some of them during the show as we talk about certain things. But Vince, first big picture, though, when we look at the big picture of this football team, there are things that we can see. Even though it's a scrimmage and it's meant to be fun, there's two things that I'm looking for, and that is I want to see how this team competes, and I want to see if this team plays with any attitude. And I think, because I think no matter if it's a scrimmage or fun or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
If you're a competitive dude, anytime you put the pads on, that's going to show up. And I want to see that.
Well, and we talked about with the new coaching staff and, you know, what do you emphasize, right? And what they started doing at the beginning of their drill work and this, that, and the other. What do you emphasize? It is very clear that Marcus Freeman emphasizes competition, that he emphasizes, you know, going after it. Right. Because the first thing they do after FSA, which is the stretching, is they have some sort of a competition, whether it's a goal line stand situation, whether it's, you know, just one play, a 2-point conversion play, whatever it is, they start with a competition and the losing team has to run. I mean, something is on the line every single time we've been at practice with that first little mini session. It's not even a full session. It's like one play or it's, you know, three plays, whatever it happens to be. There's a winner and there's a loser, and I love it. And he's telling the guys, look, competition's important. I want you to compete at all times. So he starts practice with a competition. So you're right. I think seeing what the competition level is like at the Blue Gold game on Saturday is going to go a long ways to let us know, okay, these guys are starting to adopt their head coach's mentality and what he wants from them. I think that's huge.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife likes to think of herself as a coffee expert. So when we decided to give Trade Coffees a try, she was excited to see what they had to offer. And we were not disappointed. After filling out a short quiz that matches you with just the right coffee, we received the Holmes blend from Sparrow's Coffee in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Nostalgia Series blend that she received from Sparrow's Coffee made an immediate impression as soon as she opened the box. And once she brewed the Holmes blend the next morning, she was able to enjoy a rich, smooth cup of coffee with a very robust flavor. My wife is quite picky about her coffees, but you can be sure that she'll once again be buying from Sparrow's Coffee, and we'll be going back to Trade Coffee for another shot at getting a tasty blend from a regional company. You have to give Trade's Coffee a try. Trade's Coffee team actually tastes thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade is so confident they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag for free. What we learned is that Trade Coffee send you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters. Small businesses who pay farmers fair prices to substantially source the greatest beans from around the world. Trade's Coffee's experts personally taste over 450 roasts, so they know exactly what to recommend for you. Just answer a couple of questions, and you get your own personalized variety of coffees delivered fresh to you as soon as you like. No gimmicks. Trade delivers a fresh bag of roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you brew it at home. And they guarantee you'll love your first order or they'll replace it for free. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee. And right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off.
I just don't, it's one of those things you can't just turn it on and off, right, Vince?
Absolutely. I mean,
that's the key. And if it's there, we're going to see it. Now, again, it's going to be fun and you're not going to, hopefully you're not seeing guys lay each other out. Like, it's not that. That's not being competitive. Competitive is, and that's why you use competitive and attitude together. Those things to me kind of go hand in hand. And when you don't have that, I mean, like 2017, for example, Notre Dame had some super competitive dudes. I mean, Quentin Nelson, Mike McGlinchey, Drew Tranquil. I mean, I could go on with other guys, but you get the sense. But as a team, it wasn't instilled in them as a team. And that's different. And that's what I'm referring to. Like, if it's being drilled into you every day, I don't care what the setting is. It's like if you're competing in everything, Vince, like you said, then you know, two of you and three of your buddies are out playing basketball,
and it starts off as fun, but it, you know, once then it's going to get competitive.
Right.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean you're throwing elbows and cheap fouls, but you're still going to compete because you want to beat that guy.
Absolutely.
And I think the nature of the draft, I also think, adds some competition to, like, Coach Freeman was on the Rich Eisen show today and he talked about that. He's like, I wanted them to take some ownership in their team. I'm not sure if ownership was quite right with the word he used, but it was like, that was the premise of it. Meaning, like, you drafted this team, now go out and show that you made Absolutely. The right decisions, right? Yep. And so just everything he's doing, it's like the draft was fun and it was a reward for the players, but there's also some head coach, you know, strategery behind it, right? Like, you know, right. It's just think of the dumbest word I could use. And that's what I came up with. But I mean, there's strategy behind it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Seriousness.
And that, yeah, this is going to be fun and it's a reward. But as the head coach, I also know that I think this is a way to bring out some competitiveness on Saturday in an event that we don't want to necessarily promote as super competitive. So let's see how it goes. I think all of that is good. And that's, those are some of the things that you look at and you say, this is, so how do you evaluate Marcus Freeman as a first year head coach? I mean, he hasn't coached a game yet with the staff he's hired, but
right.
It's things like this that say, okay, I see what you're doing here. Okay. I get what you're doing here. And his former coaches, you know, we've said, oh, okay, I get why they're doing that. And I love that they're doing, if you think about the previous practices, and I'm not saying that the way Brian Kelly did is wrong. I'm not, this isn't one of my anti-Kelly stances, right? Cause, you know, again, they did win a lot of games. I'm just saying, like, it's an observation. It would be a while into practice, like at least 30 minutes, usually more, before we would see any kind of competition.
Right.
Any kind of going against each other. And, you know, we're still getting the same amount of time we got back then, but we're seeing it now because it's the first thing that they do. I mean, they'd go stretch, and then they'd go like team takeoff, and they go to individual, and then it'd be like almost an hour.
Sometimes they'd go special teams after that.
Like, and then it'd be almost like an hour before there's any competition. Well, that's happening right now under Marcus Freeman. And it's just one of those things you're like, okay, there's a purpose behind that. Like, he's not just like, okay, I'm the head coach and what do I do now? I mean, there's intentionality behind a lot of the things he's been doing even before spring started. And I think the draft is going to play into this spring game. So again, does it manifest itself in how the players go about their business? That's something I'm looking forward to seeing on Saturday, even though it is a scrimmage fun type of thing. I still want to see if we see some of that from this football team on Saturday.
So Brian, let's jump in a little bit more specific. Let's talk offense. And some of this we've touched on throughout the week and throughout the last couple of weeks, but I want to make sure that we get it out there today, you know, kind of the last structured show before the Blue Gold game, because tomorrow,
because we had to kind of rush through it on Tuesday because of the NIL stuff.
Everything that was going on, and of course, tomorrow's our mailbag. So I want to talk offense and I want to talk defense. So let's start offense first. What are we looking for from the offensive side? And again, it's a spring game. We all know this, but there are certain things that you can glean and there's certain things that we're going to be paying attention to. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. I think you and I are both going to agree, and we talked about this earlier in the week. You got to start with the offensive line.
Right. That's the one we know, even though we didn't talk about it before the show. We did talk about
I know you've got that on your list. You know I've got that on my list. It's the number one thing on my list. And it's let's see the difference in the offensive line. Let's see them firing off the ball. Let's see them finishing blocks. Let's see them. Look, are they going to make mistakes? Of course they're going to make mistakes. It's 14 practices in. Right. I anticipate mistakes. And we don't even know who's going to be playing with who, you know, all of those different things, because some of these guys got drafted to different teams, but at the same time, they're going to be wearing green. So would we see the starting offensive line together at some point? Maybe. You know, we don't know. I mean, one of the teams doesn't even have a center.
We're definitely not going to see that, because the starting center isn't playing.
Good point.
I get your point. Yeah. Of what it's been this spring with Zeke Correll at center.
Right.
You know, to me, Vince, the offensive line kind of ties into the first thing we talked about with the team. It's not so much the execution, as you mentioned. And you know, we'll briefly talk about this because we did talk about it on Tuesday. But it needs to be repeated.
Yes.
It's about the attitude and the physicality with which they play. If they get beat off the edge because their pass set wasn't good enough, okay. I mean, that, as a coach, you're like, you don't like it, but you're like, okay, well, I got to fix that, make that list. You know, that's something we got to work on when we get to fall camp or whatever the case may be. I think that when you look at kind of that attitude and the toughness and firing off the ball and driving your feet through contact, and there are some technical things I want to see too. Are they playing with better pad level? Are they exploding their hips through contact? Which, last year they'd get engaged with double teams and they would just kind of lunge forward, Vince.
Yeah.
Because they didn't work their feet, which then made it hard to get off on combos. With as much as we've heard that they're throwing at this offense from a pressure standpoint, and I don't know if we're going to see that on Saturday. I got that down here to talk about later. We're going to see them tested in those regards. And so there's just a lot of things like that that I'm looking forward to seeing from this line, but it really comes down to temperament and attitude. Mm-hmm. I want to see this offensive line playing physical. I don't necessarily want to see like chippiness and fights, and I don't really care about that stuff, but I wouldn't mind a little shoving after a play because an offensive lineman just kicked the guy's butt, right? Like that's different than, you pancake a guy after the whistle and then get up and taunt him. Like, I don't see that, but a guy getting a little mad because you just whooped his butt, as a coach, you kind of don't mind that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And we just never saw that last year because the offensive line just whooped anybody's butt like that before.
And I just want to see the offensive line just take ownership and just play with kind of a nasty streak to them. You know what I mean? Like, let's say the running back gets hit real hard, right? And he goes down. I want to see that running back surrounded by three offensive linemen like immediately and helping him up and getting the defensive guys out of the way. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
That's a mindset. Yes, it's a mentality.
It's a mentality. Yeah. And it's an ownership of your position and an ownership and a leadership of your team. You know what I mean? And that goes, I don't care who it is. I don't care which offensive lineman it happens to be, through the ranks of those guys. That's the attitude that you want to see. Okay. Right. Because it takes zero talent to hustle over to where the ball carrier just went down, help him up, right, get those defensive guys off.
And there's something that Charles Jagusa said in an interview with Sean Davis a week ago, and he mentioned that like he was impressed with how much Coach Hiestand worked with and how he coached the second unit like he coached the first unit and how involved they were. And yeah, so it's even more so, okay, we know Blake Fisher and Joe Wald, if they're doing it, that's fine, but does Tosh Baker play with that same mindset? Does Caleb Johnson play with that same mindset? Does, whoever maybe the number twos are, right? Those are the things you want to see. And that's something I'm looking forward to seeing. Vince, my number two thing that I'm looking for, and there's only one player that we're going to talk about here. We'll talk about the others later. But, one of the things is going to be, this is a big opportunity for Drew Pine. And I have an article on the front page about it. And look, this is how's he going to handle this moment, right? Like, because what we've heard from sources is that Drew has not had a great spring. Well, this is a golden opportunity for Drew to end the spring on a much more positive note.
Yeah.
And to kind of say, hey, look, I may not be the biggest quarterback on the roster. I don't have the strongest arm. I'm definitely not the best athlete, but you know what? And I'm not going to light the world on fire in practice, but you know what? When it's game time, I can move this offense and put the ball in the end zone. I think that is, and again, a lot of what we're going to talk about on offense is a mindset standpoint. It's an attitude thing. One thing that's not on my list is scheme. I don't care anything about scheme. It doesn't matter. They're not going to show a whole lot. It doesn't matter to me. And I don't care what they do anyway, to be honest. It's a spring game.
Right.
So it's more of can Drew Pine, because we know the offense is going to rally around him because
they love him.
They love him. They love Tyler. Yeah. Like, I think from an offensive player standpoint, you're like, whatever. Like, just tell me who the quarterback's going to be, and I'm going to roll with them.
This isn't like in the past where when there was a quarterback battle, there was clear sides. They were picking
sides. Yeah. Right. This isn't like Malik and Deshaun of 2016. Right.
And that's what I was referring to. Yeah, that's not that at all.
The players wanted one guy, and the coaches wanted the other guy, and they went with the guy the coaches wanted. Or some of the players wanted a certain guy, whatever the case may be, they're going to rally around whoever. But I want to see how the offense moves with Drew Pine. And can he move both offenses?
Right.
Because Drew's going to play on both teams. Can he move both offenses, or is there one that he moves with better than the other? That's going to be a very intriguing thing. And how is Drew going to be mentally after having a bit of a rough spring and then now being kind of thrust into this, okay, it's a different situation for you. You were thinking you were going to be battling and having this – you versus Tyler, because Drew would have been on one team, Tyler been the other. Now it's like, dude, you're not on the gold team, the blue team. You're on the offensive team,
right?
And how does he handle that? right? And that's, you know, that's new. That's not what was expected as of, you know, Tuesday. And so I'm very curious to see how he handles that, how the offense responds to him. And then, of course, you know, just to see kind of what does Coach Reese put him in some situations of, you know, that maybe that aren't normal things that Drew thrives in. I think that's the one maybe play calling thing I'm curious to see is, do they put Drew in some movement situations, or do they maybe call a read zone or two and let him make that? I mean, you know, they're going to blow the whistle as soon as he gets around the edge, but do they make him call that, or, you know what I mean? Those are things I'm also curious about. What's your number two in this one, Vince?
Honestly, I went, and this has nothing to do with scheme. It has more to do with mindset and technique, is if they're going to do any kind of press, can the wide receivers get off of it? I know that that's been a point of emphasis in the drill and drill work. And I mean, I hear it every time with Coach Stuckey and how to do some things and how to be fundamentally sound and all of those different things. The fundamentals of the wide receiver group have been poor the last couple of years, and it's been painfully obvious. I think after 14 practices, we're at least going to be able to see whether that's taken a step in the right direction. Right. And so now is the defense going to play any press? I don't know. Maybe not. But there are certain things technique wise that I think we're going to be able to pick out to see if the wide receivers are headed in the right direction. I think we will see that, but it's still something that I'm going to be paying attention to, because the wide receivers are so incredibly important to what this team needs to do offensively and what they want to do offensively. And everybody that's playing is probably going to have some sort of a role in the fall. So we need to see the wide receivers take a step in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I thought about putting that one. I'm glad that you put that in there. It kind of plays into my number three point, Vince.
Okay.
My number three point, when I'm looking at the offensive things that I'm looking for, is I want to see if any other playmakers step up, right? And you know, again, it does, just because you step up in the spring game doesn't mean you're guaranteed to step up in the fall. We've discussed that, but it doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to be discouraged if a guy, you know, goes up. And we'll get into some specific players here down, you know, guys that I'm looking forward to seeing. But look, we know Michael Mayer's a beast. I think we have a good idea that, you know, that Chris Tyree and Logan Diggs can do some damage. We obviously feel that, you know, Lorenzo Styles is a guy that we're kind of assuming is going to be a good player. Did you guys lose some lights there in the school?
Motion activated.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like a hostage situation or something going on. But you are at a public school. You never know.
I mean, you know.
But, you know, for me, Vince, it's does anybody else step up?
Yeah.
You know, we'll get into specifics later, but I'm not going to lie to you. I want to see somebody besides Lorenzo Styles, Logan Diggs, Chris Tyree, or Michael Mayer make plays. Not a play, but plays. Anybody can make a play. Right. I want to see some guy come out and have a game, whether, you know, and we'll get into specifics, but I do want to see that, because if we lead the spring, and it's like, okay, we don't have anyone other than Lorenzo, or, you know, Braden is what Braden is, right? You know, what we know what he can be, but, you know, this tight end, receiver, running back, I want to see some guys step up and just say, hey, I've got my opportunity now to play. I'm going to go out there and make the most of it in this blue gold game.
I like it. I like it.
What's your three?
My third one and my final one is, and I want to be careful here, because I also kind of had these in the individual players, but the position battle that is most intriguing to me, because I don't see a whole lot of position battles necessarily going on at wide receiver. Obviously there's one going on at quarterback, but one of those guys isn't playing. Offensive line, I think it's kind of set more or less who's going to be playing. Oh. More or less.
And no decisions are going to be made based on the blue gold game.
Absolutely.
Right.
But what I do want to see is, what do the second tight ends look like?
Yeah.
As a whole. And again, this kind of ventures into scheme a little bit, and they're not going to show everything, but I want to see if they're going to go with two tight end sets. If they do, what is the second tight end doing? Is he just staying home all the time? Is he going to be going out on routes? You know, that kind of thing. And is somebody going to step up? Because look, Michael Mayer is only going to play so much in this game. And so I think the other tight ends are going to get a great opportunity to play. And so what do they bring to the table? Right. You talked about playmaking.
Right.
I would love to see whoever that second tight end is be a guy that they can count on and be somewhat of a playmaker. Look, they're not going to be better than Michael Mayer. There's no tight end in the country better than Michael Mayer. Okay. But they can still impact the game because every defensive coordinator on the schedule is going to circle 87 and say, look, we have to focus on 87. It's an opportunity for another guy to step up and make plays. And I think that could start on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's going to be interesting about, because here's the thing, as we said, look, if you don't have a good spring at tight end, you will get passed up in the fall.
Absolutely.
I mean, Kane Barong is going to come out like a man possessed.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Holton Stace has not shown up at Notre Dame in the fall. Like, okay, well, let me wait my couple years and be ready to go, right? Eli Raridan, whenever he gets healthy, is not going to be that way. Like, if you don't make some kind of noise this spring, and you've had 14 practices now because they had practice 14 right. This morning, you know, you're going to be in trouble holding off that spot here down the road. So those are that's a good one. Let's go to the other side, Vince.
Defense. So I'm excited about this defense. There's a lot of question marks on this defense. So overall, I'm going to start off and I'm going to say corner play. And we've talked about this a lot in the past. Obviously, Cam Hart is not going to be available in this game. He's by far the number one corner as of right now on this team. He's a captain of, I can't remember if it's the blue or the gold. He's captain of one of the teams. I think it's the blue team. And so he was the one that was speaking at the media, but he's not going to be able to play. So that right. is a great opportunity for the corners to step up, because if this team is going to be elite on defense, I think we can all agree they're going to be really good, right? But if they're going to be elite, some of these corners are going to have to step up. And so I want to see some corner plays with confidence. I want to see some athleticism. I want to see them moving around the field. Corner play overall, I think, is critical to this defense taking another step, taking that next step from really good to elite. They can be really good with the guys that they've got that we know about and all of that, but can they take that next step to elite? I think cornerback play is going to be huge for that.
I had that number three on my list, so it's definitely on my list too, Vince. And yeah. And I kind of started big picture and then front to back is the order I went. So it's not like it's third most important. I think that's a great point. I would actually expand it beyond corner. I think safety is also important. I think mine was secondary improvement is key for me.
Yep.
And not so much like I hope that they don't just lock down the receivers the whole game, because that's probably a bad sign. But I hope that they get beat sometimes, but, right, sure. but I want to, cause, and I also want to see how guys bounce back after getting beat, and, you know, but I want to see if Clarence Lewis is a little quicker and faster and stronger and fundamentally sound. I want to see if, you know, these young guys are able to kind of take advantage of the playing time that you talked about and make plays, but just bigger picture from specific players. I want to see that it's a group that's more fundamentally sound, that plays the football better.
Right.
We've heard a lot about some of the turnover stuff that they've been doing this spring. I want to see, does that manifest itself during this game with some different things? I want to see that, you know, the safeties are reacting quicker sure. than they did in the fall. I want to see that this, and this kind of, you know, ties in. I'll just kind of throw one of my fourth points, because I know you only did three. So I kind of tie my fourth point into this one too. You know, tackling is a big issue for this team, but it's especially important in the secondary, because they were not good tacklers a lot of the time last year. And really, the only good tackle they had consistently was Kyle Hamilton. He's gone. Now, you know, Brandon Joseph is back and all that. But I want to see that this group can tackle better, take better angles, react quicker, jump routes, you know, take things away. You know, I'll be sitting up and, you know, up high at the game, and I want to see that, you know, hey, they see this dig and the safety saw it and jumped it and did all these other things. I want to see all that. I want to see the technical an instinctive improvement from the secondary. And I think you can get that out of the blue gold game. And again, they're going to get beat. They're going to give up plays. There's going to be assignment mistakes and things like that, just like we're going to see at other positions. But
sure.
I think you should still be able to see overall improvement from this unit. And, you know, if we don't, Vince, then I'm going to be a little bit concerned, because again, Chris O'Leary is going into year two. Mike Mickens is going into year three. Like, all these young corners, I mean, they are now have a spring, a fall, and a spring, you know, to work with Coach Mickens. When you talk about, you know, Barnes and Riley, Chance Tucker is only on his second, you know, semester, but the other two have three, right? Tariq Bracey's now going into year three with Mike Mickens, right? I mean, Clarence Lewis is now going into year three with Mike Mickens. So I expect to see those improvements. And from what I've heard, and we talked about this, I believe, on an earlier show, I've heard that the second half of the spring was much better for the defense than the first half, and a big part of it was the secondary really starting to make a lot more plays and playing with more confidence and starting to figure it out. Now let's see if we can see that in the blue gold game.
Sure.
What's your number two?
I want to see the interior of the defensive line and what they can bring to the table, because look, we know that Jason Adamiola is going to be fantastic. I mean, he's poised for a fantastic season, and he knows it. That's why he came back, right? But he's not going to play. And so that leaves a pretty big void, because there's going to have to be other guy. Howard Cross was the first defensive lineman taken. I find that intriguing, right?
Well, you know, I've heard from sources that he's been their best interior player,
which is great. You know what I mean? Like
against a line that's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's not like, well, he's been the, okay, let me explain it like this. There's two ways that conversation can go. Dude, Howard Cross has been our best interior player this spring. Like, that's how bad it is for us.
Right, right.
Or it could be like, dude, Howard Cross has been a beast. He's been our best interior player. What I've heard is more of the latter, right? Good. Like, dude, like Howard's just making plays. Like, the O-line's having – he's one of the few guys that the O-line's having a hard time with.
Right.
I've heard that the offensive line has a hard time with three dudes. That three dudes – well, actually, four second half of the spring. But there's – and one of them I'm going to talk about later. But three of the D-linemen that I've heard have just been – pains in the butt for Notre Dame players this whole spring. Obviously Foskey, but the others is Howard Cross, who's just had a, but the other one is Justin Adamiola. I mean, I've heard he has been like him. It's him and Foskey. It's like whoever's going to get the sack, and it's like if they're not going against Alton Fisher, it's like no chance. And you know that's something I'm looking forward to seeing. But to your point, like, it's great if Foskey and Adamiola and another guy I'm going to talk about later, Riley Mills, are all great this year. But to your point, if it's just Jason up the middle,
that's a problem.
This defense is going to have holes.
Absolutely.
So, and it can't just be Howard Cross because he's 265, 270 pounds.
Right, right.
It has to be more and more and more. I think that's a really good,
yep,
really good
angle. The interior. Yeah, absolutely.
Vince, my number one was, I want to see some of the new wrinkles. Like, look, we're not going to see the full Al Golden.
It's funny that you say that, because I had something similar, but then you're like, well, we don't want to really talk about scheme. And I was like,
it's not scheme. I mean, look, you're not just going to line up in the same defense every play.
Good point.
Right.
Good point.
I mean, you're still going to see some wrinkles. You know, are they going to be more three down, four down? I mean, we'll start to see some of that. They tried to play some three down last year. You know, will we see more zone or man? And again, you know, some of it might be some trickery a little bit, but I do think they're going to play their defense, and because I'm not one of those people that's like, you can't show them what you are going to have.
Stay in a 4-3, don't move. You know, I mean,
to a degree, sure. You know, there's some of that, but you still need to give your guys a chance to do what you do.
Right.
And we're going to see that. You know, we're going to see some of that. So I'm looking forward to, I mean, I don't really have a lot of analysis to provide on it other than just I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, just the out, because no matter what, even if it's pretty generic, we're going to see some of Al Golden's DNA on this defense. Well, what does that look like?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see that. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And
yeah,
that's going to be part of what I'm going to be looking for as well on defense.
Yeah.
You had one more, right?
Well, I had four down with a question mark. You know what I mean? Because we've seen a lot of four down while we've been at practice. And so, are they going to do that the whole game? You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious to see what that looks like. And the numbers at defensive line obviously could dictate that in this particular game, right? But I'm still intrigued to see, is it going to be 100% four down? You know what I mean? And again, that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen in the season, but something I'm going to be paying attention to.
Because that's something we've seen in most of the open practices.
Right.
And there hasn't been a ton of D-line that you've been able to see, but what we have seen, it's been four down.
Yes, absolutely. So let's dive into, because it was very difficult to talk about some of these big picture items on the offense and the defense without mentioning specific players. And so I want to dive into some specific players, Brian,
that we're looking forward to really watching and seeing play on this.
Absolutely. Weekend. So let's start on offense. My first one is Deion Colsey. Just from a consistency standpoint, right? He's got all the tools. He's got the measurables. I mean, you stand next to him, you're like, okay, this is a dude. I mean, there's no question about it. but can he be consistent? Last year, the biggest issue for me was he didn't know what he was doing, and it was obvious.
Right. And he played like it.
And I'm not blaming him necessarily for that.
I'm not blaming him at all for that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Knowing what he was working with, yeah. Seniors couldn't freaking figure it. You know, weren't being taught things. What do you expect
a
17-year-old freshman to do?
No, that's a really good point. So, but this is a
but big that's spring. Not an excuse anymore, though, Vince.
That's exactly right. This is a big right. spring for him. And can he consistently make plays? Can he be that big boundary receiver that Notre Dame needs to have to right. be successful, right? That's right. a huge question mark right now. So, again, are we going to get all of our questions answered in one game? No. But I think we can start heading in the right direction of getting some of those questions answered when it comes to Deion. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be on my list.
I mean, at some point in time, Deion has to start making plays, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, at some point in time, that talent has to turn into some level of production. And, you know, talking to people, we haven't seen a ton of it during the spring. You know, Deion's right. had a couple flashes here and there, but hasn't had a great spring like we'd hoped he would. This is the kind of thing that can maybe be that springboard. You know, it, on a much smaller scale, it's kind of like what we saw for Miles Boykin in 2017. Miles did almost nothing the whole year, was a backup all year, had like his only big game that year came in. I think it was against like Miami of Ohio or something like that. I'm actually going to
right.
to look that up. Remember, like, and it was like all coming off the bench. And it was like,
the thing with him was, yeah, he's a beast against MAC schools. Remember that?
Right. Well, it was because he never got a chance to right. play. But like, you know, he comes in, he has a 54-yard catch for a touchdown against Miami of Ohio. He caught one ball against Michigan State, two against Carolina for 18 yards. Two against for 14 against Michigan State, two for 33 against Navy, one for 20 against Stanford. You know, so he comes into the last game of the year and he's got nine catches for 151 yards in the course of a year, does almost nothing. And then boom, LSU, he gets, you know, Chase Claypool's hurt, Equanimeous checks out in the first half, and Cam Smith was hurt, Freddie Quintin right. was out. I mean, so finally you had no choice but
you had to play him. You didn't have a choice.
And he balls out. You know, right. he you know, three catches for 102 yards. You know, the touchdown catch was phenomenal, the game-winning touchdown catch, but often overlooked is that third and 19 catch he had between two defenders on Ian Book, just dropped it right over, and he made the great catch. And that's what I said. Ian always had the ability. It's just the willingness. Yeah. His third and 19, late in the game, he had no choice but to make that throw through a great ball. Yeah. Miles called it in, gets drilled by the safety, convert, and then that set up, I believe that set up Michael Young's touchdown in the fourth quarter touchdown. Yeah. And then, of course, he makes exactly. the great play where he just, you know. They had Dante Jackson and Greedy Williams playing corner on that team. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like,
you know. What? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the point is, like, Miles, that was like he did nothing for 2 years, 3 years, really. Finally steps up in that game, and that gave him some confidence. Like, that game gave Miles such great confidence going into the next season. I don't know if he goes out there and abuses Julian Love every day in practice that spring and fall if he doesn't end the season with that confidence.
That's a good booster. Point.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, smaller scale, 15 practices versus 15 weeks, you know, but on a smaller scale,
sure.
Can Deion have sort of that, okay, now's your chance to go make some plays. Like, hey man, you do belong here.
Right.
Right. Some kids just need that moment. Like, especially young kids, like Deion is the age of the other freshmen. Like, right. I want people to understand that
he's 18.
Deion's as old as basically as old. I mean, maybe a couple months older, but like, he's basically the same age as the other freshmen. He was always young. I always want to say young for his age, which makes no sense in the context I'm using it, but young for his class.
There you go.
And so he may need something like that. And hopefully yeah. this spring end could be that. But I had two pass catchers in here for mine, Vince, my first one. I had him, and this goes back to what you were discussing earlier, Mitchell Evans. Like those okay. two I have okay. in the same, like I have two, and then kind of two.
Interesting. Okay.
In these, but because they go together. But same thing for Mitchell Evans, right? Like Mitchell's had a better spring than Deion. And I've heard some good things about what Mitchell's done, but I think he still needs that big confidence booster, that strong finish of the spring. Say, if you want to hold off Kane Barong and Eli Raritan and Holden Stace in the fall, you know, and Kevin Bauman still, you know, you need to take it even to another level. And if you want to be someone that's not just going in there and just be a blocker right. for 15 snaps a game, you got to right. go show something. So he's another one that I'm looking forward to seeing. I want to see Mitchell kind of have like stretch. I want to see him hit a couple seams and stretch the field. And, you know, because he had a nice spring game last year.
Yeah.
I want to see that again, but I want to see that early in the game, not later, like, you know, against the third team, because he was a freshman. He was an early enrollee freshman last year, right? Like, so, and I had zero expectations for Mitchell at this point in time last year, like none, because I was like, one of the lowest ranked kids in the grade in the class for me. Well, now we've seen Mitchell's got some skills. He can play. So, you know, definitely better, not just better than I thought, but has picked up tight end way faster than I thought. You know, he played some tight end as a junior, but he was a quarterback as a senior. So he's another guy I would put, you know, there's going to be a lot of sophomore freshman influence in my breakdown here, but Deion and Mitchell are kind of that top group for me of guys I really want to see from a pass catching standpoint.
Well, and I'll just piggyback off of your Mitchell Evans, because I had Kevin Bauman / Mitchell Evans. Because I, again, and this goes back to the second tight end, one of those guys is going to have to step up. I mean, it's going to have to. And if they don't, you're right, they're going to get passed up. And because I love Kane Barong, and it's a shame that he is injured right now and he's not going to be able to participate, because I think that battle could be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But if they want to stay in the race, Kevin Bauman and Mitchell Evans, they need to ball out. They need to show that they are part of the competition for that second tight end spot going into the fall. So I had both of those guys written down as well. So just to piggyback off of you, I'm going next.
You're going three? Okay.
I've got, I mean, you know.
You started and I went, so now you're going to three and I haven't got to my second one
yet. All right, go ahead.
So, well, I mean, I can talk for 15 minutes afterwards, but I'm just, you know, we're kind of doing the snake thing and you're just jumping ahead. So please, Vince, talk about your third.
No. Go, please.
Talk, Vince. All third right, guy.
Fine. So I – running backs, right? And it's I've got two written down at running back, because we know what Logan Diggs and Chris Tyree bring.
If you're about to say Estime and Price, I'm going to get real ticked off right now, because that's my two. Okay. Vince has checked himself out. Get back in here, big baby.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I had him right there. They're slashed right there.
Yeah, same here. Go ahead with your two.
Well, I mean, look, they're on the same team.
I've been stealing your thoughts and thunder for long enough. You can steal some of mine.
It's all good. Look, these guys are on the same team. Like I said yesterday, Tommy Rees was so excited about getting Audric Estime on his team because he figured that he'd be going to the other team after they picked Logan Diggs. And that was not the case because they picked Ladarian Price as their first guy. So these two, I think, could be so much fun to watch, right? I mean, Ja'Darian Price is on one team. Audric Estime is on the other. Logan and Estime are on the same.
Yeah.
But
they're on the same team. Still
Notre Dame. Yeah, right. Ladarian, I mean, he has been the talk of spring as far as the running backs are concerned, just because he's this early enrollee kid, and he's making plays.
He wasn't like a super highly ranked guy by the other recruiting services. Sure. I had him as a top 100 recruit, but other services didn't. And so I think to a lot of people, he's been a surprise because of that, because you don't expect the guy that's not ranked high to come out and ball out the minute he's
he has. On
campus in that backfield that they have.
And he has. He has made a name for himself in that backfield. And then, of course, Audric Estime, my gosh, he is kind of the Bigfoot. If he's this big, massive guy. Everybody's like, just give him the ball to goal line, blah, blah, blah. But he's so much more than that.
Right.
And I think he's going to have an opportunity to really show that in this game, because he's going to get a lot of opportunities, he's going to get the ball a lot, I think, in this game.
I hope.
And I think your people are going to see his foot quickness. They're going to see kind of his elusiveness, and they're going to see him run some dudes over. You know what I mean? So this is going to be a great opportunity for both of these guys.
I agree. I have them on there for the same reasons. I want to see these guys make plays. I want to see, because I think you nailed it at the beginning. Like, we kind of know what Tyree can do if he's healthy. We know what Logan Diggs can do, which again sounds absurd when you consider a guy doesn't even have 300 career yards. But like,
no, right?
That's partly because of the expectations we had for him, and then he kind of showed himself to be that kind of guy. Plus, with Logan Diggs, he came into the spring a little banged up. They've got him through the spring healthy. I'm almost kind of like, I don't want him to play a ton because don't want that. Like, I don't want him to that. Some guys I'm weird about like that. Like, I'm, you know, normally I'm like, you know, go play and all that. But it's just like, he missed a lot. He was not 100% during the winter workouts. I don't want him to not be 100% during the summer workouts, because I want him in the best shape possible when he gets here in the fall, because they're going to need him to him and Tyree both to be healthy and play. Like, I don't want to see much of Chris Tyree on Saturday. I don't.
Yeah.
Just because, like, look, he's been banged up all spring. I don't want to take a chance of
who Chris Tyree is. It's not
banged up. He's had a, you know, I believe it's been Did they? It was a concussion, right?
Then I believe they said it was a concussion. Yeah. And he's questionable, I guess, right, for the game. So we may not see him at all. I mean, that's right, definitely.
And I'm fine. I'm right, fine if he doesn't.
Me too.
I'm really not.
He's a known commodity. He's not. He's somebody that we know what we're going to get from him for the most part. Now, could he surprise in the fall? And
sure,
absolutely. But sure, he's a fairly known sure commodity. We don't need to see him in the spring.
Right. I want to see those other two kids go out and make plays.
Yes.
And you know, and honestly, for me, it's, I want people to see kind of Logan's, like, I think you nailed with Aldrick. Like, he's not just this big hammer.
Right.
He's got really nice. I mean, you watch him in high school. He had a monster. Do y'all understand? Aldrick Estime averaged about 10 yards a carry as a senior in high school, winning the Gatorade Player of the Year award.
That's crazy.
He rushed for 1,300 yards in like 8 games because, you know, COVID shortened season. You know, but he was a monster. A monster. And it wasn't just because he was running people over. I mean, he can make you miss. He's got foot quickness. He's got agility. I want people to see that. But I'm also looking forward to seeing, do they get him involved in the pass game at all? I want to see him in pass pro because I think he could be the third down back. A lot of people kind of laugh at that, but I'm like, look, to me, the third down back has got to be a guy that, number one, can pass pro. You got, and like, absolutely, to me, that's, I want that 230-pound beast stepping up and taking on linebackers. It's kind of like, you remember that scene from Tombstone, the OK Corral scene, and they, you know, Doc or Kurt Wyatt Earp says, you know, give Doc the shotgun, and he's like, they might be a little less, you know, apt to, you know, I forget what he said, but start some if he's on the street howitzer. You know, it's like, kind of feel like that about third down. Like, they may be a little less apt to kind of bring a blitz if they see Aldrick Estime's the guy that's going to step up and take on that linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh, what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, they may want to rethink this blitz package when that linebacker gets ear-holed a couple times by Aldrick. I'm hoping that he can be that kind of guy, but then also he can't just be that. He's got to also be able to make plays in the pass game. And he wasn't used a ton in the pass game in high school. So that's still the one, to me, unknown, is his pass game potential.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it at all from him, right?
Nope.
And it's not
because he was in mop-up duty when he got in, and there's not really passing.
And there's only one game, right? It was blocking or carrying.
Right.
Like run blocking is like a wing and like a goal line. So that's something I'm curious to see too, Vince. I want to see both of these kids, how they're using the pass game, Jadarian and Aldrick in the pass. Like, Jadarian, I don't care about what he does in the run game. I know what he can do. That's why I rank him as a top 100 recruit.
Right.
I do want to see how he's utilizing the pass game. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yep.
And then the third one for me, Vince, is I want to see the guards. I want to see the guards, and I'm very, very, very curious to see Zeke Correll at center.
Yeah.
Because I've heard Zeke has had a very good spring.
That's his natural position, man. Like,
but here's the thing I don't know. Is it his natural position, or was he coached by a bad coach last year? Because when he was playing center in 2020, who was the guy working with him primarily? It's Chris Watt. Right? Zeke, I mean, so that's the thing I don't know. Like, but here's the thing. If it's his natural position, if he's as good as we think, can you automatically just lock him into that position when you know Jarrett Patterson's coming back this spring?
Right.
Like, if he's that good, you have to at least think about maybe moving him or moving Jarrett, one of the two. And I don't know if moving Jarrett Patterson to guard does a whole lot for him. We're looking at the NFL draft like it would have if they'd have moved him to tackle last year. So I don't know if I want to do that either. So, but, you know, how does Andrew Kristofic play? You know, can he finish the spring off on a good note? Can he start showing some of the fight and toughness that we thought he was going to have coming out of high school? And, you know, he was just kind of, you know, just a do your job guy when he came in last year. And it was good. It was important because it helped solidify.
Yeah, they needed that.
Right. Because, like, the other guys were just getting blown off the ball. Andrew doesn't really get blown off the ball. He's at least going to stalemate. Well, now with better coaching, can he step up and be a mover and the guy he was in high school? You know, is Josh Lugg going to play and can he look comfortable at guard? How's Rocco going to look at guard? That's another one that I'm really curious to see.
Huge question mark.
So I want to see how the guards play.
I like that one.
I'm very confident in the tackle position. I've heard a lot of good things about Caleb Johnson as a pass blocker. I've heard some really intriguing things about how Tosh Baker has finished the spring, like what he looked like. Beginning of spring, I was hearing some not so good things from a few sources. And then by the end of spring, it's like, okay, it's like the light kind of went on for Tosh. Now, is it enough to impact starting lineup? We're not saying that. That's a ways away. But that kind of plays into this. Like, how do the guards play? How comfortable are you with the guard position going into the spring? Because if you don't end the spring feeling super good about not just your two starters, but your depth, then you've got to figure some stuff out going into the fall. And I'm curious to see how it all shakes out. That's going to be here we go. Louis Saban. They'll be a little apt to get nervy if he's on the street howitzer. That's what it was. Yes.
Thanks, Louis.
That's what it was. One of my favorite movies of all time, but I always get that that specific one wrong. So thank you very much for that, Lewis. So Vince, defense. What are you looking forward to seeing on defense?
So I almost mentioned it when we were talking about the secondary, but my first one is Brandon Joseph. I mean,
interesting.
Yeah, because I saw little bits and pieces of him when we were at practice, and man, he flies all over the field. I mean, I just think I'm not saying he's Kyle Hamilton, but he's going to step into that playmaker role. Yeah. Okay, he's going to be an impact player. That's a great way to put it. I am excited to see him running around and just making plays in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think that Notre Dame fans are going to be very excited to watch number 16 make plays all season long. And this is going to be kind of the whistle wetter, right? I mean, this is going to be an opportunity for them to see them for the first time. And so I think
Brandon
in a Notre Dame uniform. Absolutely right. Correct. And look, Notre Dame fans aren't watching Northwestern games. Okay. So, okay, that aren't named Brian Driscoll.
Right? Brian's watched a bunch of them.
You know what I mean. But no, I think Brandon's going to be a heck of a ball player, and I think he's going to start that hype train on Saturday.
Yeah. I went with guys that are a little less – that we know a little less about.
That's fair.
You know, and my first one was – I have four guys. My first one is Maris Luofau, right? Like, I want to see if – I want to see if he's bigger.
Got it.
See if he's stronger. I want to see if he's running around. I just want to see him. It's been a long time since we've seen Marist.
Yes, it has.
I really want to see him because the things I've heard about him are like, you know, like I'm really excited to see it. I don't care if he makes a million plays. It'd be nice if he does. It's never bad when the guy makes plays in the spring game, right? Like that's never a bad thing. It's not the end all. But I just want to see him running around. I want to see how he moves. I want to see how he hits. I want to see if he's filled out. How's he taking on blocks? Those are if Maris just has a solid do your job every snap play, that would probably excite me more than anything. Cause I know he can make the flash plays. I know he can jump a wheel route and pick it off. Like I know he can blitz off the edge. I know he can shoot gaps and make plays. I know he can run. It's can he play disciplined football? That's a little bit more of on a C Vince is like just I want to see him fast, playing fast, but also playing disciplined football. I'm very curious to see that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And then I stayed in the secondary for my second one too, Vince.
Okay.
And that was Ryan Barnes. I'm really looking forward to seeing Ryan Barnes. And that's I want to see Philip Riley. I want to see Chase Tucker. I want to see all those guys. But like Ryan is the guy that I think right now is furthest along of the sophomores.
Okay.
And from what I'm told is the furthest along, but he's been good, but he hasn't really taken that final step to say, okay, now go make a bunch of plays. He's made some plays, he's looked good. But I want to see him really finish the spring off on a high note and just really be good. And he's going to be playing opposite Clarence Lewis, which I thought was interesting. You know, that was the first pick of that team. Second pick. Clarence Lewis, first pick, and then Ryan, the second pick. So I that's something I'm in because then the gold team picked Jaden Mickey first. And I could easily go with Jaden Mickey. But I really want to see Ryan Barnes. I really think he's a key to this thing. This cornerback position moving forward, and I knew he was going to be on your list. As
yep. Well,
I knew you're going to have a heavy secondary. When your first note on offense or defense was the secondary, I was like, yeah, he's going to have like a bunch of secondary guys. Now we're going to talk about that in a second.
So let me just I will say this: I have no defensive lineman on my list. I don't have any.
I have two,
and yeah. I obviously I had Brian Barnes, mm-hmm. and I have Jaden Mickey. Those are my two corners that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Look, I love what Jaden Mickey brings to the table. I love the fact that he talks. I love the fact that he's got confidence. That's fantastic. Now, his play has to back that up.
Right.
Okay? It's great to be a talker, but when you're a talker and you can't back it up, it doesn't matter. It just makes you annoying. That's all it does, right? So you've got to back up your play. Now, I've seen him back up his play up to this point, but again, we haven't seen a bunch.
Right.
So I want to see him in a game situation getting a lot of PT and see what that looks like, right? And for every reason that you just named for Ryan Barnes, obviously that's why he's on the list as well. So it's Ryan Barnes and Jaden Mickey, and then I'll move in because you already started talking about linebackers.
Yeah, D-line is the last one for me, and there's two guys on my list.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just tell you my linebackers that I had. Yeah. I had Marist.
Oh, you had more than Marist?
Yeah, okay. I had Marist. I had a trio. I had Marist, and then I had – I think this is a big opportunity for Bo. I know what we've talked about. I know that I'm like kind of falling off the bandwagon a little bit.
You are, but you aren't. I mean,
but he's
being objective.
Great opportunity here to be the middle linebacker in this game.
Well, and he needs to do what I just said about Marist.
Right.
Absolutely. I don't care if Bo makes a million plays. Just do your job every snap. Don't miss holes. Don't.
Because if he just does his job, he's going to make plays. Like that's just the manner in which he plays the game. So if he can just kind of keep it focused and do what he's supposed to do, he's going to make a ton of plays.
Agree.
So Bo's on there. And then I feel like Prince Kali has kind of gotten forgotten about.
Yeah.
With the foursome that kind of came up in the new recruiting.
I think part of it for me is not that I've overlooked. It's just that he's playing Maris's position. And
that's
just
hurts him. Obviously,
you know, well, it doesn't hurt him. I think it's good because I don't think he's ready for a full-time role yet.
Sure.
I think he needs a year of grooming as a rotation guy. Then you can maybe take over more of a full-time role next year.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to for me. And so I'm not ready to put that kind of burden on him yet. They don't need him to be as good as they need Ryan Barnes to be.
Right.
Is where it comes down to for me.
I get that.
Because if we're going to get in there, then I could just list every talented player on the roster.
Of course.
You know?
No.
I'm just saying for me. I'm just saying why he wasn't on my list. It's totally fine. I'm just explaining why he's not on my list. Same reason I'm not talking about Aiden Gobira and Tyson Ford and Gabriel Rubio. So, although I thought about putting Gabriel Rubio, but there's two guys on the D-line, Vince, we'll wrap it up. And I do want to get some questions before you have to go.
Okay.
But there's two guys. Riley Mills is one because I hope that they are finally going to decide on you're a big end. I hope that that's what they decide to do. I want to see that, though. Is that where they're going to play him on Saturday or are they going to slide him inside? Riley can be a good three technique. I think he can be a dude as the big end. An absolute dude. I think he can be. And I want to see them use him there. And then I want to see Riley play well there because I've heard he's had a really good spring when he does get to play outside. Like when he's outside, he's really good. He's inside. He's just a good player. And so I'm hoping that that's how they use him on Saturday is the big end. Now I could see a scenario in which that's one of those let's hide it from Ohio State kind of things. I could see them saying, hey, because he is playing some three technique in some of the pass rushing situations and things like that. They could say, let's keep him inside because there is no Jason, right? There's no Jason Adamiola. The other guy to me, yes, we know Jason's going to be a beast. We know that Isaiah is going to be a beast. That's all fine and dandy. But to me, this team is going to be determined by what's with them. And it's not just Cross. It's not just Riley. Isaiah can't play every snap and end. Riley can't play every snap and end. There's a guy that I've heard that's had a monster spring that I think is on the verge of being part of just a three-headed monster at end, and that's Justin Adamiola. And I've heard a lot of good things about Jordan Patelho too, but with him, like I've heard especially second half of the spring, he's been an absolute beast as well, playing end and rover. But with him, it's just like I just have a hard time getting too excited about him because it's like next week he could go out and do something to get in trouble. If Jordan can stay locked in, he's on the list. But Justin Adamiola, that's not an issue with him. You know he's going to be there every day doing what he's supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And I've heard he's had a big, big spring. He's playing with a ton of confidence. So we know what Foskey can do. They need They need other guys to step up and be part of that group of – like that's what made the 2018 D-line so good. It wasn't that they just had Tillery and Khalid and Julian, it's they also had Dalen and Adi and Jameer. Like they just had a depth of those guys. Like they were just rotating in playmaker after playmaker. If Akwara came off the field, that's fine. Dalen would make a play. If Khalid was off the field, that's fine. Adi was going to make a play. That rotation needs to be there.
Justin can play both sides. He's going to be part of the third down package. If he can be a force, because here's the thing, he's going to get a ton of single coverage next year in pass pro, a ton. And if he can do in the fall what I've heard he's been doing so far this spring, it's like, okay, if you want to double team Foskey and Jason, then this kid's going to smoke you. And I'm looking forward to seeing if we can kind of see that on Saturday as well. So that's my list of guys that I'm looking for.
Love it.
Vince, let's get to some questions here.
Let's do it.
I hope we'll get as many as you can, and I'll try to get to the rest if when you leave. But Tommy Gunn's starting us off with which team seems to be set up the best.
Who?
I have a strong opinion on that, especially since the same quarterback's going to be playing both teams. I think the blue team is. And the reason this is who they have. It's Logan Diggs and Aldrick Estime. They got Lorenzo Styles, Deion Colsey. They got Mitchell Evans, Blake Fisher, Josh Lugg, Tosh Baker, Andrew Kristofic. Defensively, they got Foskey, Mills, Lacey, Ahrensberger, Josh Burnham, Jason Onye. They got Maris, Betelho, and Tuilamaka at linebacker. They've got Ramon and Houston and Justin Walters the safety. And then they got Clarence Lewis, Tariq Bracey, Ryan Barnes, and Chance Tucker corner. I just think that's the on paper, the better squad. Some of the gold team decisions I thought were a little, okay. It's interesting the direction you're going with that one. But I think to me, the blue team is
okay. Set up
the best in my
cool.
opinion. Do you want to make a counter-argument to that?
I will not make a counter-argument to that because I have not studied the teams at all. So
here's one from John there. Vince, why don't you go and read that one?
Yep. John Klimek says, I'm going to be paying attention to the line and their drive. Are they establishing the line? And I think Golden likes some zone packages. I want to see the DBs in that. Yeah,
because I think they're better suited for that kind of stuff. Clarence is better suited for that. I think Barnes is better suited for that. I'm very curious to see that. Absolutely. Mark Applegate says, celebrating 10 years of marriage. Best year of my life. Congratulations, Mark. Congratulations very, very much. And you're celebrating it, spending some time with us, which we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate.
Smart man. Smart man. John, is it wrong for me to want to see Blake Fisher play offensive guard for the team he wasn't drafted by?
No.
I don't care what team he plays offensive guard for. I would still like to see it. I mean, look, my dream scenario, and I'll still say it, is that Tosh Baker, the light goes on. He's a great tackle.
And he's so good that they have no choice. You can
slide Fisher into guard. Yeah. Like, that would be
– that'd be one heck of an offensive line.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, again, it's not that Blake wouldn't still be their best tackle. It's just that he could also – he's the only tackle that could also be their best guard. That's what it boils down to. Like, people think, well, you know, you don't think Blake can play tackle. I know Blake can take play
right.
tackle. I think Blake could be a first-round pick at tackle.
Right.
I think he'd be a top 10 pick at tackle. I think he'd be a top 10 pick at guard. It's just if your three best players are all tackles, somebody's got to play guard. And to me, Joe Alt does not project as well at guard as Blake does.
Right.
Tosh Baker would not project as well to guard as Blake does.
Right.
Blake could be a monster guard.
Yes.
Now, I don't see that happening right now.
Right.
But, yeah. And then John has a follow-up with Tosh Baker. Is there anything Tosh Baker can do to impress on Saturday? Yeah.
Absolutely. Play
well. Yeah. Play well. But I don't think he's there yet where it's going to result in them moving the line that way. But that's also why I want to see the guards. And that's the point I brought up during that segment, Vince, is if the guards don't play well, then you may have to sit down and think about, okay, do we have our best five-man alignment on the field?
Right.
But Tosh has to go show a lot for me to get to that point.
No, agreed. Absolutely. Logan says, does Buckner missing spring game give Pine an advantage going into the fall?
I don't think it gives him an advantage, Vince. I think it gives him a
resume for that job, but I don't think it gives him an advantage.
And that's what I wrote on the article at Irish Breakdown, is this is a great opportunity for Drew to close the gap on Tyler. This isn't an opportunity for Drew to jump Tyler. I mean,
can't discount the first 14 practices in spring, where from what we're understanding is Tyler is ahead of.
Well, and you even said that in the couple practices you were at. Like, Tyler was the better player.
Yes.
But we didn't see a lot of team.
I didn't see enough to really, you know, make
I've yet to talk to a source that has said Drew has outplayed Tyler.
Right.
But this is the chance for Tyler to close that gap. So it's good for Drew. He's got to take advantage of it.
Yes.
And I have a feeling, knowing him, I have a feeling he will.
I do too.
Because I don't think Drew's going to be a great practice player. I think he's A lot of people like to compare him to Ian Book. I think he's different than Ian. I think he's the exact opposite of Ian.
I was going to say, Ian was a great practice player.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, absolutely.
So, but, you know, Saturday will tell us a little bit about that, Vince. Yeah. I think Drew's just one of those kids that needs the adrenaline. You know what I mean? Like, he needs that adrenaline to be flowing to really be at his best.
Yeah.
And we'll find out if that's true on Saturday. I do expect the line that he's going to play behind to be a lot better. That's one thing I felt bad for him last year. Is he got his brains beat in. That offensive line couldn't – some of the – That was rough.
John says, do you hope Notre Dame showcases some different things on special teams Saturday? Did the special teams coach get enough guys to spark competition? I don't know how much special teams there's going to be.
And it's walk. It's basically walk through. There's no kickoff, kick return.
Okay.
They'll punt, but it's fair catching everything.
Right. And they may kick a couple field goals, but it's not going to be a rush situation.
Kicking is the only thing that will have any sense of competition on Saturday. But, yes, he'll have look, the special team. Brian Mason has to be like a kid in a candy store with all the athletes. He's long athletes he's going to have running around. There's going to be some more showing up this summer. There we go, Vince.
Anthony Solomon says, Brian, did you spend all of the fundraising money from last year? So he's talking about our Thanksgiving slash Christmas drive. And will you be doing a fundraiser in 22?
It's a great question. We did. So what we did is we spent the first like $6,000 on the things we talked about. Just and Vince knows we were like just begging people because that was my fault. We did it too late. A lot of people already kind of had their, well, we've already got this, we've already got that. But I mean, and it's like I went to Gordon's or I'd go to Costco and I'd man, like, okay, this has got to be like a couple thousand right here. And it's like, this is like $1,000. Like, oh, seriously? Like, that's it? It was hard. It's like I bought a lot of food and clothes and did different things. So we ended up having about $5,000 left over. And so I had asked some of the bigger donors that kind of say, look, are you okay with us using, you know, yours to do sort of this thing with the St. Joseph Boys and Girls Club. So what we did was, we gave them $5,000 to start sort of their emergency fund. So essentially they always get these needs of people just, you know, hey, I just had a major surgery and we're, you know, I can't pay my rent the next 2 months. And, you know, the people that are, you know, that come there, hey, can we step up and help out? We actually did that with some of that money. And, you know, hey, look, this organization just reached out and they've got an emergency need for food and we don't have the resources to buy it. That's what the Irish Breakdown Emergency Fund is for. So it's still going to stick to the vision of what we said we wanted to do, but now it's just kind of like this fund, and they have to tell us they have to tell us where every dime goes. Mm-hmm. So that way we know where it's going. But it was great to be able to partner with them. The lady I worked with there used to work at Notre Dame. So she was awesome, really helping us get that set up. So we did spend every single dime that you all gave us. Actually, we went a little bit over just because we needed to get that even 5,000. And then we are hoping that we are definitely going to do another fundraiser again. I'm hoping to do two. I have always wanted to do partner with St. Jude. It's always an organization I've always wanted to partner with. So I'm trying to get a hold of somebody there to do like a summer fundraiser with them. But I don't know how that all works, and I haven't heard back from anybody there. So if anybody works at St. Jude or anything like that, let them know that I'm trying to partner with them here for something here this spring or summer. And then, of course, we plan to do something again next Thanksgiving as well. We'll just do it a lot earlier than we did this year.
And we'll do it differently so that it's not a super chat.
We're not going to do the super chat thing anymore. Like, well, you can still give super chats that day, but it's all going to be online. That's where we get raised most of our money anyway. We'll probably leave it open a little bit longer than we did this year, but it'll be very similar to that. But we'll have a show built around that.
Yes, absolutely.
But the super chats won't be part of it because, like, we ended up raising like $1,900 through super chats, but we only got like a 1,200 of it from some crazy reason from Google. Like, it was a different story for a different day. So, yeah, thanks for that question, Anthony.
Yep. Kyle Wade says, is there any scenario where a player is so dominant that you'd like to see them in the rotation slash start or play so poorly that you start to think, oh no?
I'm assuming he's referring to like the spring game.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
The latter. I mean, look, human nature, the latter is going to happen, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I understand why people were like, wow, DeShone Kizer was bad. He was bad. It doesn't mean he's always going to be bad. That's my whole thing. So, yeah, I think it's human nature to have those reactions, Kyle, certainly. It's just that you just kind of got to walk it back, right? And it's unless you've been at practice or you've heard things and a guy does like, yep, that's what he's been doing all spring, there you go. Right. Like if a guy hasn't been doing anything all spring and he has a great spring game, that's nice and it's good and it's a positive, but it's not like, yeah, that guy's got to start, right? It just – it don't work that way. But I think it's very, very natural for us to see all that and start coming to kind of bigger picture conclusions.
Hey, my guy, Connor, with the Super Chat. What's up, Connor? Haven't seen you in a little bit. Hi, all. Which player will see his stock rise the most in 22? That's a loaded question. Holy smokes.
I would need more time to think about that one. I mean, a stock as far as with the team, with NFL draft. I mean, I guess that's kind of some of the different things I want to find out perception wise. I would need a little bit more than that. Just my first gut reaction is Riley Mills if they play him at big end. I think he could go from just a guy that nobody really talks about to, wow, that dude's the key to this defensive line being elite.
Okay.
I think. Because if Jason and Isaiah are on one side and there's going to be snaps where you can't have Isaiah and Jason and Justin right on the field on first and tens, they need somebody on the other side that's a big factor too to keep teams honest and be a great run defender. And I think Riley can be that guy. He just has to go show it. And yeah, thus far he's shown flashes, but he's got to show it. But yeah, I think another one would be if another corner, whether it be Clarence Lewis, right? So Clarence like kind of playing so well that he gets rid of the stigma from the bowl game, or someone outplaying him and beating him out. I think that would be the other position that I would go with on that one, Vince. What would yours be?
I know that right now his stock is pretty high as it is, but I was thinking more from a national standpoint. I think Lorenzo Styles is going to absolutely explode nationally. I think we all know kind of maybe what he can do,
right,
but I don't think anybody knows who he is outside of Notre Dame fans. And I think that his stock is going to explode. So I'll go with him.
Yep. Get down a couple more here, Vince. We got one here from Coach Vic.
Oh, what's
from
up,
the 574.
I know Coach Vic. We used to coach together. He says, hey, Vince, are we going to see Coach Stuckey's impact? We talked about that a little bit earlier, Vic. And I think we need to, and I think we will see. I think we will see it. It's not going to be a finished product. He is working these kids fundamentally every time I see him, and it is a work in progress. But I do think that we are going to see his impact in this game, and that it's going to be obviously even more so once you get to the fall.
Yep. Here's a good one, Vince, from Patrick Bird.
Freshman most likely to make freshman All-American team. Man,
I got the offensive one is I have I'm one on offense, one on defense for me.
Okay,
the offensive one's pretty easy. It's Tobias Merriweather,
wide receiver.
Now that didn't have a whole lot to do with the spring game, but this is the Q&A. It doesn't have to be about.
Doesn't have to be. Yeah, right.
I think with the especially with Deion not really stepping up, if Deion doesn't finish strong, he's got to be careful because Tobias Merriweather is not coming to Notre Dame this summer thinking, you know what, give me a year to get going and I'll be all right. No, he's coming here, so okay, give me the ball.
Right.
That's just how Tobias is. And so he's a guy that I think could be that guy. You know, if there's going to be someone on offense, it would be him.
Okay.
I think there a lot would have to happen at running back for Jadarian Price to be a freshman All-American.
Right.
Have to take some.
I think he's good enough, but there's just the depth chart is opportunity. So strong.
Because I could say the same thing about like Eli Raridan, Holden Stace, defensively, you know, Tyson Ford, Jalen Sneed, Nolan, Junior Tuilamaka is the other one on defense. So there's two on defense, depending on how things go. If there's an injury at linebacker, I could see Junior Tuilamaka stepping in at Mike linebacker and being just really good, being an All-American. And the other one is going to be Jaden Mickey. Now, I think Benjamin Morrison has the long, bigger upside, but I think Jalen's early start could open up opportunities where he could be like a slot guy, have a great year, pick off some passes, and be a freshman All-American. Those would be the three guys that off the top of my head I would probably go with. That's not the three best players. It's a lot of this is about opportunity, Vince. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, Billy Shrouth is one of the five best offensive players on this class, in my opinion. But I don't think he's going to be a freshman All-American because the opportunity is not going to be there, in my opinion. So that would be my pick. Corey D asks, Vince, you got to roll. I'll take care of these last few. So appreciate you, buddy. Corey D says, is Justin playing the other DN position opposite Foskey? He will in certain looks, but it's not going to be full time. Corey, it's going to be kind of like he's going to have a role at times, especially when they go to sort of their nickel packages or third down packages and things like that. They will do it then. but it's not going to be something that we're going to see them do full time, right? At least that's the, as of right now. Now, there's been some discussion, I've been told, there was some discussion about possibly having Justin move to Big End permanently, but that so far, that's not the move that they've made. And I think Riley Mills stepping up is going to be part of whether that continues or not. Mike Lane asks, hey guys, finally got signed up yesterday. Great to have you on board, Mike. Thank you for signing up and joining the premium board. I've been smashing the like button for a while. Really appreciate your guys' insight and business model. Wishing you pure success as always. Go Irish. Mike, I appreciate that very, very much. We certainly, certainly appreciate the support from all of you, whether it be direct financial signups, whether it be just supporting us through encouragement, supporting us by watching our content, reading our content. We support all of it because all of it matters to helping us continue to grow as a company. David Carpenter, the Super Chat. David, thank you for that. Okay, are you both picking teams with the blue gold. Who are the first picks for O-line, D-line, and receiver? Ooh, Vince is going to be mad that he didn't get a chance to answer this one. O-line, it's my first pick is going to be, again, if we're talking guys are eligible for this game, my first pick on the O-line would still be Blake Fisher. It'd be Blake Fisher. My first pick for the D-line, again, so the different thing about this question that I'm going to take from this, David, is if I'm doing the picking, that means the captains aren't doing the picking, which means they're draftable, right? So Isaiah Foskey wasn't drafted for the game, but if I'm picking, he's the first guy I'm taking. And then at wide receiver, I'm taking Lorenzo Styles. Those would be my first picks at those positions. Very, very, very good questions. Jules602 says, which of the receivers has the most to prove this weekend? You know, I don't know if I'd say anybody has like the most to prove just because it's a spring game. But I think Deon Colsey probably is a guy that needs to have the best game in order to kind of thrust himself forward to being a guy that you like, you know, we really think we can count on him this year. If you're looking at it from the coaching standpoint, I think he needs to prove himself. Like if Braden Lindsey doesn't do a whole lot, I don't really care. We've seen Braden Lindsey, you know, make plays in games. So I'm not super, super, you know, concerned about that. It'd be nice, but you know, I think Deon probably has the most to prove based on the context and the criteria that I just referred to. So that is going to do it for today's show. I really appreciate it, everybody being here with us today. It's been a lot of fun. We'll be back tomorrow. We are for sure going to have a mailbag tomorrow. There's also a chance that tomorrow we could end up having a second show, whether it be something draft related or most likely also a preview of the weekend from a recruiting standpoint. We will definitely have stuff on the message board and on the site in regards to previews for this weekend. I'm going to do like a film analysis of all the players. I'm going to have that later today. Term a film analysis and grades, recruiting grades for all the players that are going to be on campus this weekend that are not commits. Ryan will have an article come out tomorrow where he is going to preview sort of where Notre Dame stands, what the weekend means from a recruiting standpoint. So definitely make sure you check that out. As my guy Mace AK always says so well, join the message board, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, share this podcast. If you're listening via podcast, give us a 5-star review. And of course, above all else, go Irish. So everybody, have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again the next time on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.